following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. It's a Friday. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Oh, man. What an hour we're going to have here. Going to have a little bit of fun. Oh, you know, Scott Van Pelt has bad beats. Can you imagine if you were on the Clippers last night, Jimmy?
If I was on him?
Yeah, if you had the Clippers bet last night, oh, up 19.
Yeah, but kind of a bad deal.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine the bad beats that some of the folks probably had out there. We're going to talk a little wagering and a little horse racing towards the end of the program with our buddy Gino Bucola, the TVG. The Preakness is tomorrow. Will American Pharoah go off at less than even money? Will it go wire to wire? Will it just win the race, or will someone else step up? We'll talk to him. We'll also talk with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger. He'll be joining us on the show as they are on their way or in Sioux Falls for tomorrow night's game. And we'll also talk a little track with Jason Hale at Holdridge. We've talked to him a lot about football, but their track team was pretty impressive up at the B5 yesterday. Girls are the district champs. The boys were 2 points away from being the district champs. Lexington, congratulations there. And we'll take a look at all of that over the next hour. But it's, you know, we keep talking about it. It's another big weekend for Jim Langan. It's another big weekend. You've had so many big weekends in the last month here, man. How are you handling? How's it going?
But just... Yeah, it's really, I don't do much.
It's graduation. Yeah. Your son Chris is going to graduate, we assume, on Sunday.
Yep, he sure is.
Same suit and tie that you wore to the wedding, or you got a little different wardrobe?
Oh, I'll have a whole different wardrobe. It'll be a different tie, maybe a different shirt.
Graduation going on for more people this weekend, and in 10 days, is that what I've got figured out here? I think the 21st is when, or 28th is when state golf wraps up. So we've got 13 days here, and we'll have four state tournaments, and everything will be wrapped up. Soccer's currently going on. Track and tennis are next week. District golf next week, and the state golf meet the 27th and the 28th. And May will be gone. Memorial Day will be into June. We'll be talking Shrine Bowl. We'll be talking all of the All-Star games, the 8-man All-Star game, the Hall of Fames, all the things. I mean, it just keeps on going, and we're about 3 months away from Big Ten Media Days, and it'll be here before we know it.
We've got a kickoff. We've got Husker football. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Two kickoffs have been announced, Jimmy, because yesterday we found out that Southern Miss is going to be in the morning, September the 26th, homecoming, 11 a.m. I'm sure that's really cool for all the alums. Yeah, let's get up and go to an 11 o'clock game. But anyway, it's been announced that the Miami of Florida game will be at 2:30 in the afternoon down at Miami, of course, 3:30 Eastern. So if you're going out to Miami, we can now tell you that it's going to be at 2:30, and it'll be on one of the ABC ESPN network of stations. So three of the four non-conference games, and we'll just see what happens with BYU. Obviously, that'll find some exposure somewhere as well.
You think that'll be a night game?
No, because, I guess I'm not going to say no. That South Alabama game, they've put at night. BYU, I think that'll be, we did a 5 o'clock deal here, I think, with Wyoming or not too long ago. I can see a 5 o'clock deal.
Sure.
Mid to late afternoon. I don't think it'll be a true night game. Okay. It won't be a morning game, or else we got to get BYU home. Good. They got to be home by Sunday. We got to get them home.
Okay, let's get them home. So, good idea.
You know, whatever. It just depends which TV network picks them up. I think, you know what, Jimmy, the deal is we have to look and see. That first week, there's always a couple of big games, but they've moved them around so much now. They're on Monday night of Labor Day. They're on Fridays and Thursdays. You can play them all around. I think there might be enough intrigue with Mike Riley that I'm not saying it's going to be the national game, but I can see it finding its way onto one of the ESPN networks.
I would think that it would be a very intriguing game because of the coaching change. And I definitely think you're right, and only because of the coaching change.
Did you ever coach track?
Yeah, I did. I coached boys track for 2 years and girls track for 2 years, and then coached golf for the remaining time. Never had a year off. Never took a year off at the spring. Go ahead.
We were talking about this, especially yesterday. I was up at Broken Bow. How unique track is. You've got to have so many coaches just to cover the numerous athletes that are at all the different events. Track is so much different, and you can help me out if there's a different sport, but it is so different from every other sport because it truly is 17 individual events. Now, yeah, if you can run the one, you can probably run the two. If you can long jump, you can probably triple jump. But each one is unto its own.
Yeah, I would definitely say that the 100 and the 200 are close enough that would be the sprint coach. You know, the 1600 and the 3200 are close enough that's going to be one coach there. Now, your 400 and 800, you can argue that, but you're probably going to have, you know, somebody's going to have to, the 100 and 200 guy might take the 400s, and the 800 is going to be with the distance runners and the 3200 relay. You know, but you're going to have somebody that understands the exchanges in the 400 meter relay. You know, that's a whole different deal. And I don't think the 1600 meter relay is, the exchanges are as critical, but the 400 meter relay is all about exchanges. That's, I mean, more so than sprinting. Then you're going to have a hurdle coach that's probably going to do both. Now, you know, what's the hardest one to find is the pole vault coach. You know, I mean, yeah, because he can just be, what do you do? I just work at the pole vaulters. That's all I do, and that's the only thing I'm going to do. And, of course, in your long jump and triple jump, if you look, Doug, and I'm not going to say this verbatim, but I would say that if you look to see who's going to state in the long jump, that some of those same athletes are also going to the state in the triple jump. You know, I mean, hey, they get 1-2, and they might split back and forth, or, you know, but those jumpers in the long jump and triple jump are set to have a tendency to be the same athletes, too, and maybe a high jumper would get in there, too, and then your shot put in your discus throwers. A lot of times those guys go 1-2 in the shot and 1-2 in the disc. Now, not always, but it's a couple of events where you can score some points. So the 100 and 200, if those are different athletes, it's because you were pulling them out because you're trying to get state points someplace else and get a relay going and using that guy somewhere else.
We had some pretty good performances yesterday. Got to witness the alma mater set or tie a state record. The girls' 1,600-meter relay from Ord, 3:59.22, which tied, can you imagine, 0.22, a four-minute race, and it's 0.22. 0.23, nah, sorry. You didn't get the record. 0.21, you got the record. 0.22, you tied them.
You tied the record.
And the only reason, and some of the, it's from 1989, 26 years ago. It was at the state meet where they would have had the 100th second timing.
Sure.
Back in 89, we're still going click, 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 and not the automated timing except at the state meet. So Fairbury had that record.
You know, you always have seen us track board when you go to schools, and it's kind of interesting when you sit there because you're waiting for the basketball games to start, and so you look up at the track board and you kind of read it, and it's kind of quite often the 100 meters there's a tie, you know, because a lot of people ran exactly the same time in the 100 meters, but like I say, it's very unlikely there's ties in the other ones. But wouldn't that be a nightmare if you had a three-way tie in the 3,200 meter, and you were in charge of putting the track board up there? You had to get all those names up there so everybody could see them and spell them correctly. So instead of having just four names, which is long enough, now you're going to have 12 names.
Well, it's pretty interesting when you get to certain schools, you'll see a lot the same name, same name, same name. And of course, obviously, when you walk in the gym at Kearney High, I'll be interested when they get the new school, how they configure everything, how they put up banners. Do they do all new things? I mean, I like they're running out of room on the track. For folks that don't know, they hang in the auditorium there, just wood slabs, and it, you know, one below the other, one below the other. Well, they've kind of ran out of room. And then, of course, it's really cool when you get the gold star, because that means it's an all-time top 10 performance. And obviously with the success that they've had, there's quite a few of those planks over there at Kearney High.
Yeah, that's a whole different board when you look at that. I mean, and there's some schools you go to and you check it out and you look over there and you go, wow, look at that. That's Kent McLuhan, 200-meter dash. I remember him. You know, the Myers at Superior in the discus. I mean, there's some schools you're going, hey, check that out. That guy won the national championship. You know,
some schools you're going, I can never get that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's some of the results from yesterday. The B5 at Broken Bow was won by the Holdridge girls, 116. Northwest, the runner-up, 109. Ord, 96th, and Kearney Catholic and Minden. On the boys' side, Lexington won the final relay to clip Holdridge, 90-88. Adams Central, 77. Cozad 70, Northwest and Minden tied for fifth. In the B3 at Seward, York girls won it, followed by Waverly, Seward, Aurora. Crete boys win it, followed by Seward and Aurora. In the C4, it was the Thayer Central boys, followed by Fillmore Central, Wilbur Claytonia, Sutton. Wilbur Claytonia won the girls, followed by Fillmore Central, Superior, Sutton. St. Cecilia swept the final district that Alan Van Cura will coach for the Hawks over at Sandy Creek. The boys after that, Sandy Creek, the runner-up, then Blue Hill Central Catholic Centura. Donovan Trumbull, the girls runner-up, followed by Wood River Central Catholic and Sandy Creek. In the C10, which was going on at Cambridge, the Cambridge boys, 146, North Platte St. Pat's, 145. And Southern Valley was third. And in the girls' team scores, normally for, well, since the show is incepted, we would have never had anybody in the studio that would have been doing a dance to this, but our own Loop City Red Raider alum here, Caleb Henry, his sister was part of the Arcadia Loop City District Champions yesterday, 109 to North Platte St. Pat's, 102, and Ravenna's 98. And your sister qualified in shot and disc?
Yep, she's going in both of them, along with the Kuchera girl from Ravenna. They went 1-2.
And, of course, your dad's a coach.
Yep, he runs around. I think that's how he stays in shape, by track coaching.
Well, your dad.
Yeah, is that a shape?
Well, there's a shape.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's in good shape. But
Paul Henry.
Your dad, I mean, he goes after a little bit, because in the summertime he'll take her to places and to go to camps. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, she'll go to camps. She also does the Junior Olympics, which she's actually going to come back early for the state meet, and they still do it at Burke for Nebraska because that's the best place really to go. But we're going to come back. He's going to come back early from a family vacation so she can go to that just to qualify for regionals.
Yeah, you guys, all the whole family has been obviously big in track. Of course, Caleb doing that in college as well. We're going to have a break coming up here in just a moment. Jason Hale will talk to us in a little bit. But when we return, Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger on the road. We'll see what their team looks like when they hit the field tomorrow. We'll do that after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney. and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by weatherology.com. Partly to mostly sunny skies and breezy winds at times today. We could see a spotty shower or storm. Highs will top out near 79 degrees. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, Doug, due to Jim Langan, and farmers are in the field. Some of you are all done. Some of you still have a little bit of work to do. And, folks, we've been telling you about T&L irrigation. Well, it's time. You're in the field. Have you found out, have you looked at, have you found out more information about the GPS navigation corner system? It's like no other. It's the newest thing for 2015, featuring real-time kinematic accuracy and wheel angle sensor for true tracking. The package includes the base station, eliminating the need for a subscription. The system tracks multiple constellations, reducing the signal loss caused by tree lines and other obstacles, and there's no electronic interference from power lines. Operators can easily change the path of the system through a simple teach function. Combined with TNL's hydrostatic design, low maintenance, reliability, and unmatched continuous movement, TNL's GPS navigation corner system represents the optimum in pivot corner system management. You can find out more from your local TNL dealer, like Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island or Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge. It is TNL Irrigation like no other. This one comes to us on the Dent Popper inbox, Jimmy, from Doug in Kearney. He says, question, why are track records for high schools posted in the basketball gyms and not at the track facility? You don't see records for football, volleyball, wrestling, or basketball posted at the track. I suppose you can keep them nicer longer if they're not outside, right, Jimmy? Which they'd be at the track.
No, let's really face reality. That's where you're, most of the people are in a gymnasium.
And not just for, I mean, because you play basketball there, volleyball, graduation, choir, band, all kinds of things.
Yeah, people want to put things where people are going to be at. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's usually where the locker rooms are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, so I mean, you know, I guess, yeah, and a lot of it, you know, it's, you want people to see it, so that's where that's where you put it. But it's a great point. I like the guy's point. You know, I mean, let's be honest. When you win a golf, state championship, you got the banner there in the gym. You had to probably take it out the golf course.
Well, you guys got it at the golf course.
We got a couple.
Right,
we got
a shed.
Hey, when we won it, we couldn't get it enough places. You could not have enough publicity. No, that's not completely true. I made sure we never wore. We never did buy. We never did buy T-shirts or any of that when I coached. I just didn't like that idea that you would. Now, we might qualify for the state football playoffs and somebody else bought them for us. But if we won the state championship in golf, which we did a couple times, we never did buy T-shirts and walk around within the school building with, you know.
It was just big rings.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, where are the Nebraska Danger records kept?
In the Harlan Event Center.
I thought maybe you had a big picture there and they just surrounded you with them.
Definitely not. I try to keep my face off as many things as possible.
Well, the Danger, 8-1 on the season, go to 9-0, multiple defending champion, Sioux Falls tomorrow night. Obviously a huge test. And, Micah, you're coming off the bye week here, and let's just start off with it. Last week, some unfortunate circumstances led to you having to dismiss a couple of your top players in Kane Farquharson and Claude Roten. Where's that setting? What have you done to replace them?
We haven't actually added anybody to replace those guys. We had guys on that were coming off injured reserve that they could step in and take care of the place of those guys. So, you know, it wasn't about, like I said, replacing them. It was just about other guys stepping up and making plays.
What can you tell us about the incident that led you to have to dismiss those two guys?
Guys, got to make good decisions. You know, you make bad decisions, you know, you got to pay the consequence for it. you know, until their legal battles are done and they can no longer be a part of this organization. You know, we have a higher standard that we can hold our players to and our staff, and I'll say about it.
We'll have how much does it affect chemistry? Does it affect talent? I mean, you've got depth, you've got good guys, but just not having a couple of all-league players, no matter what the sport, if it's high school all-conference or all-pro NFL, you would have to think that that would affect your team, and you haven't played yet. So is that something you're watching for tomorrow?
You know, I think that defensive line-wise, replacing Claude was a little easier than replacing Kane. Obviously, Kane's one of the best receivers in the league, and you know, he was a friend to a lot of guys on this team. Unfortunately, you know, you make bad choices and you got to pay the consequences for them. Guys have stepped in this week in practice, and we honestly haven't skipped a beat. Hopefully that'll continue on Saturday.
Hey, Coach, you know, your quarterback is going to be the key to the football game. He's one of the best players in the league, and you've played a couple games without him and continued to win. Is there anything you're going to do? Are you going to try to run the ball a little bit more, or are you just going to see what the defense gives you?
I mean, you know, we'll kind of take what they give us, and that's the thing with Sioux Falls. You know, you can't force the issue, and if you do, you're playing into their hands and what they want you to do. So you just kind of got to be patient and take what they give you and see if you can create some opportunities offensively and defensively.
Talking with Mike Davis, head football coach of the Danger. Obviously, Troy Evans has been solid for you. Who will have to step up at that receiver role?
I mean, all four of them, honestly. Like, you know, Demarius Washington, Josonas, Tillery, Dotson, Troy Evans, you know, Barnett, all those guys are going to have to step up. You know, it's not going to be relied on one guy's shoulders, and I wouldn't ask them to put it on one guy's shoulders. You know, it's a team effort, and whichever eight are out there on the field on offense, we'll have to take care of it.
Hey, Coach, you know, I've officiated that game before between the two teams, and it seemed to me when you had success, it was when you spread them out a little bit and you threw the ball to your running back coming out of the backfield, too. Is that going to be part of your game plan a little bit? Is it going to be a little bit of a getting wide out there, you know, close to the sideline?
Yeah, you know, anytime we can get the ball in Wayman's hands, you know, he's a game breaker and he can change the game as fast as the game in a hurry. You know, we just got to make sure that in the right circumstances, in the right situations, that we get the right guys the ball. And if we do that, we'll have success. If we don't, then we'll struggle.
Mike, what'd you guys do in the off week?
The plan was to get away, but that didn't happen so much. Honestly, most of the guys left. A lot of them left and went home and saw the families and came back refocused and rejuvenated, and it was good. Obviously, the weather wasn't good enough to play some golf, so kind of just watched some film and tried to relax.
Did the bye week come at a great time for you? I mean, it's your second bye of the year. One after the first one, you just kind of get to figure out where you've been, but is this a good spot for the bye? Well, notwithstanding what happened to the two guys last week.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a perfect time for us to buy. You know, our schedule this year set up perfect for us with all three of them. You know, as far as how they are and where they are, and you know, who we're playing before and after them. So, you know, we were kind of banged up. We had to get some guys healthy, and we did that in the bye week. And you know, we're ready to move on.
Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger. Let's talk about tomorrow's game. I mean, this Sioux Falls team has been the juggernaut. They keep winning championships. They have kept you in the finals from winning those, and they're undefeated again this year. Tell me what they got.
I mean, a little different than what they have had in the past. You know, they went to more of a ground attack. They run the ball, you know, 35-plus times a game. So, you know, we'll have to be on our best game defensively. You know, and then defensively, they got a lot of guys back, very similar. You know, got to turn around and figure out what's going on. You know, we just got to make sure that we take what they give us and go from there.
Yeah, Coach, I think you're right about them being a different type of team. They've never been the type of team that throws it deep unless it's something that the defense gives them. But when you cheat a little bit in the box and you try to, you know, stop the run, I mean, and the league has rules where you can't completely do that all the time, but there's some things you can do to do that. Are you going to get bigger up front? Are you going to have kind of another defensive lineman in the game and try to keep those guys fresh a little bit? Is that kind of the game plan?
Well, I mean, I can't really give you the game plan.
Okay. Good idea. I think I got it.
No, honestly, we just got to do whatever we have to do to stop the run. And if we do that, and you know, we got to be able to play better in the secondary than we did in the championship game. And if you go back and look at the last, you know, four or five times we played each other, it's been a close game, and we had them on the ropes, and we just never capitalized on opportunities that we had. You know, last year in the championship game, we started out, we got a bunch of stops early, and offense kind of sputtered early. And then once they figured out what we were doing, we were struggling getting stops late, but the offense was scoring late. So we never could get, you know, in sync where we had both faces playing at the same time. And if we do that, we're a great football team. When we don't, we're average like everybody else.
Mike, if it's close, like as you've been talking about, we talk about the kicking game, which always makes the coaches pull their hair out. Luckily, you don't have to worry about that. But where are we at with your kickers?
Good. You know, I mean, honestly, Brandon Hanafy is still with us. He's been a pleasant surprise this whole season. And he'll make the trip. Obviously, it's he's only going to play a couple more games for us before he has to go back to Ireland. So that's tough for us coming down the stretch, but you know, we're looking for another kicker for the next couple weeks after this, and we'll go from there. But this week shouldn't be a problem.
And just for the fans out there, importance league-wise, playoff-wise, Colorado is your next two games. You should be a favorite over them in those two games. The importance of a win versus a loss tomorrow night.
You know, it allows us to keep a stranglehold on first place in the division and at least have the first-round playoff game here. You know, that's our end goal that we're looking for. You know, we wanted to win the division and get at least a first-round playoff game here. And if the chips fall the right way and we play well enough, then we'll have the championship game here. I mean, you know, that step for those chips falling the right way starts on Saturday. You know, we have to get a win because they're undefeated and we're 8-1. So if we can level up the records and get a win with them, then, you know, we have a lot of work left to do still in the regular season, but, you know, it's a giant step in the right direction for us.
American Pharoah, no problem tomorrow?
I don't like her.
Ooh. Because of the one hole, or just you don't want to see her win?
Just shorter distance. I think there's horses that can beat her. Beat them.
You got a prognostication for me?
No, I can't do it. I gave the horse a ran second in the first one, and you know, honestly, if I had to say anything, I like Danzig Moon. Honestly, I think the horse is due for a big race.
All right, buddy, watch the race and then go out and win a football game tomorrow. Okay,
that's the plan.
Mike, always great catching up with you. Best of luck tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet, buddy. Mike Davis, head coach, Nebraska Danger, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Most coaches it can be a different ways. Maybe you didn't make grades in high school. Maybe you got in trouble with the law. Maybe you move on to the next. You get injured. There's a variety of things as a coach, Jimmy, that you have to overcome. When you're in the middle of the season, I think this probably happened to every coach in every sport, and you lose, I'm not going to say the man, but I mean, these were two of the top guys on the team. You've probably had that experience or just think about, you know, you take this guy out, how important that is to your team. As a coach, what's going through your head? What's the most important thing to keep the team together and put yourself in position to win?
Well, I mean, a lot of times if you have an opportunity with practice, this does help you a little bit, that they do have 5 days to get ready. I always thought what was tough was when you had a game plan ready to go, and during the pregame warm-ups or the day of school, that kid is sick and can't play, and you haven't been able to practice, hey, something different that we want to do. You know, like, hey, you know, hey, we're going to have to shoot three-point baskets. We're going to have to shoot 23s and try to go 9 out of 20, and we're going to have to get some shots. And if you had a post player inside that was 6'8", and that's what your game plan was all week, you've got to really change that quick, and you don't have much time to change that. So, you know, it's really tough in basketball and in football a little bit. Those are the sports. In baseball, it's hard if you lost a pitcher. But, you know, nine guys have to bat, you know, in that sport. So, hey, that guy that was really a great batter, he might have gone 1-for-4 anyway for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, he might have gone 1-for-4. So it doesn't affect your batting lineup as much. But in football and basketball, it really does affect your game plan. But if you have 5 days to prepare, at least you can say, hey, we're going to have to play zone, or we're going to have to play man-to-man. So you wanted to have some time. And that's one thing the Danger get to do in this game. Now, if you get on the stats and you look up, I think, touchdown catches for the whole Indoor Football League, I think the guy they're missing would lead the league in touchdown catches. They did go to him a little bit more in the end zone, though. It was a guy they did actually go and throw to. So if they have a different guy, their quarterback is key. I mean, he can throw to about anybody. Doug, if you and I went out there, we'd catch a couple.
Cool.
He's good. He'll throw it right to you.
I don't want him because he'll hit me.
Oh, yeah. It's real bad after the ball hits your hands. That's a bad play.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Holdridge track coach Jason Hale, Gino Bucola of the TVG Network talk about the Preakness and Fanatics Friday trivia. It's all coming up.
Highly favored American Pharoah rallied in the stretch to win the Kentucky Derby in a breathtaking finish. Now watch the amazing American Pharoah run for the evasive Triple Crown Saturday in the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. Simulcast for wagering at Fonner Park. Be there for the Preakness. Plus day-long racing from 23 tracks. Advanced wagering available today. First race Saturday, 9:45. Clubhouse open at 1. Fonner Park, Grand Island.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty wants to congratulate our class of 2015 scholarship award winners, Renee Ingersoll, Zach Schmidt, and Dylan Wells. We're proud of all of your accomplishments and wish you the best of luck.
NP Realty. Developing dreams.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport... done right.
Hand Machining in Pleasanton is proud to sponsor the seniors of 2015. Trust Hand Machining for whatever machining you need, large jobs or small. Hand Machining in Pleasanton.
Call Brent Woodman, your local Golden Harvest dealer, to get products that will yield profits for you next fall. Congratulations, class of 2015. From Brent and Sarah Woodman.
There's a special pride in graduating, and the Exchange Bank of Gibbon would like every one of the area graduates to know how very proud they are of each and every one of you, and looking forward to sharing in your future. The Exchange Bank of Gibbon.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tell you what, if you're a trackster, you've always got that cooler around. You've got to put some food in it. You got to eat healthy. Well, one of the ways to do that is getting a great sandwich from Big Daddy's Deli in Hastings, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches located right across from Duncan Field at 610 East South Street. And you could have a different sandwich. You might have the same meats or the same condiments, but you can mix it up with different breads, different cheeses. Maybe just move one thing off, put another one on. That's the beauty of Big Daly's Deli, one of the many beauties. They also offer meat and cheese trays and longer sandwiches, two-foot sandwiches for special events. Call ahead for their special orders and the prices of those. Home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. At Big Daly's Deli, maybe go in and have a 12-inch today and make it a meal deal with chips or fruit cup, maybe some soup, desserts. So good at Big Daly's Deli in Hastings. Well, got to spend some quality time up at Broken Bow yesterday for the B5 District Track Meet, and the Holdridge boys and girls were as good as anybody else. The girls come away as the district champs. The boys are 2 points short, and Holdridge Duster head coach Jason Hale joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, we needed a 1600 relay team.
Yeah, we've been a little, we're just a few bodies short there, I think, on both sides to be able to fill up everything that we want and be competitive and everything, and had to make a few choices. And, I thought we'd have enough without it on the boys' side if everything, if everything comes through the way that you picture it. But overall, I was really pleased with the day.
I know coaches don't like to overdo it, but would you categorize yesterday as a great day for the track teams?
As far as conditions, weather, all that kind of stuff, it was fantastic. Probably the best we had all year, and I think you saw a lot of fantastic marks to show that.
Jason Hale, the head coach. Let's just go through some of these kids. It starts with the field events. Let's start on the boys' side. You got a Blake Schroeder that goes out and sweeps the shot and discus for you. Just kind of tell me a little bit as we kind of break these kids down that are going to state and how it looks maybe for them going to Omaha. Let's start with Blake.
Well, Blake's done a fantastic job all year. He kind of was disappointed in the district meet last year and had a goal to not have that happen again. And he came through with flying colors. As far as where he sits, I think his marks rank right up there, especially in the discus for at the top in Class B, and his shot's probably in the top three or four, but if you go off the district marks, he's probably sitting about third or fourth right now. So his chance at meddling and scoring for us is really good, but I know he's got high hopes, and hopefully he can push for those top couple spots.
As Coach Schmidt over at Kearney Catholic pointed out to me, Paige Herbert tore the ACL last fall in volleyball. She had to adjust what she did. She qualified by winning the high jump yesterday. And you've got Cooper Rogers that has come back, and what a story for him.
Yeah, definitely. First I'd like to say I got a chance to talk to Paige yesterday, and what I saw yesterday was fantastic. I know she's had a rough year, and being able to see her kind of change some gears and get some things done in the high jump was fantastic. It was one of those fun things to watch. And now Cooper had a similar situation, and he had knee surgery in September, and he got back way ahead of schedule. He was actually cleared to run when the track season started, and he went right from the bat or from the get go. He looked like a kid who hadn't missed a beat. And he's been slow the last couple weeks with a hamstring issue, and kind of cruised a little bit yesterday, I think, especially in the prelims, just to make sure he got into the finals. But he did. He ran really well in the finals, and I think he'll only be stronger with another week of practice going into the state meet.
Hey, Coach, you won the girls' district. Talk a little bit about your girls' track team and the 116 points you scored there.
Like I mentioned when we were talking about the relays a few minutes ago, we're maybe a few bodies short here and there, but overall our girls team is able to put quality kids in most all of our events, and we score well all year long. There's been a couple of teams that we're back and forth with. Early in the year we were getting the upper hand on some teams team wise. When you start seeing quality opponents week after week, it's a serious grind. Northwest is a school we had a hard time getting by the last couple weeks at our meet, their meet, our meet, and then conference, and we just kind of came up short. But we knew there wouldn't be a huge window of leeway in yesterday's meet, and we had to perform in every area, and our kids did, and I think it just shows how good our girls' team can be. And And I'm excited for them next week. You know, we got 8 kids and a lot of multiple events, and you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out at the state level, but I don't have looked that close yet. But overall, I'm really pleased with our team.
We're talking with Holder track coach Jason Hale here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug due to Jim Langan on a Friday, and you had a couple of the young ladies that have qualified in 4 events, and Elizabeth Bauman and J.C. Pfeiffer, and sometimes you look at and go, well, okay, they won the district, but it was weak in that category, or you're in a strong district, and maybe the best gal was in my district, and obviously with Woodward there, that probably put Elizabeth behind the 8-ball just a little bit from Minden. So kind of talk about those 2 girls, and if you think this district was tough enough that maybe these marks can translate into state medals for them.
Oh, I definitely do. You look at Ebeth, she's fared well against the best competition in state, and I think she actually she beat the Woodward girl in the 100 at Lexington a few weeks ago, and you know, she's right there. Her marks got pushed down to her best marks of her career. In yesterday's meet, you look at the hurdles with the young lady from Northwest. They probably have the 2 best times going into the state meet with their marks, and she's probably in the top 3 or 4 definitely in both the 100 and 200. So I think the district meet showed the quality. There were several events yesterday where all six of the kids in the event qualified for state. So that tells you about the depth of the meet and how good the competition was. And our relay, which both Ebeth and JC both run on that, I think they're going to have probably the second best time in the state coming in. So that's going to, hopefully bode well if we can work on a few things there. And we really asked JC to do, her schedule's pretty rough. She's an 11-foot pole vaulter who had to leave the pole vault, go and get qualified in the 400. Come back to the pole vault, get qualified, and end up, in the top 3. We had the top 3 placers there, and then she had to go turn around and go run the prelims for the 200. So that was a pretty tough schedule for her right in there, and then come back and finish 3rd in the 200 and then be part of that relay team. She had a huge day as well. So I think the competition at our district meet and overall the last 2 or 3 weeks has really helped these kids prepare for what's going to be, I hope, a great meet next week.
Yeah, Coach, the state does a good job. The NSA does a good job when they have some of these events. The girls' shot's going to be at this time, and the girls' discus will be at a whole different time. So they try to do a good job, but it's almost impossible. Like you say, when you've got somebody that's a 400-meter runner and pole vaulter, those are the 2 events that seem to always cross into other actions. At the state meet, is there anything that you look at that you're going to have trouble, driving a kid to the pole vault and running them over here? Is there anything that hits at the same time?
It is possible probably the one thing that you mentioned, the 400 and the pole vault, they're both, the 400 prelims is late, or I shouldn't say late, it's kind of early in our session, but like at 5:45, and there's a good chance she'll still be pole vaulting at that time, but a good chunk of that should be over. So hopefully, that's the one big conflict I've seen already looking through. But it'll be a lot better than the situation we had yesterday. And a lot of these kids, like Ebeth and Cooper, these guys that do a ton of things that require prelims, it'll be nice to be able to run, the prelims on one day instead of having, I always joke with Ebeth about she's got to survive 7 gunshots, 7 starter shots every meet, where that gets split up. And so especially on the sprinter end for us, that's definitely going to help kids be a little bit fresher come finals.
And the last moment here with Jason Hale, Holdridge, track coach. You mentioned it, and maybe there's some correlation here, but you get south of the interstate over there, Bertrand, you guys. I mean, that pole vault is insane. Your 3 girls had the 3 best marks in Class B. They go 1, 2, 3 in districts. Actually had 4 girls total qualify. You got the champ on the boys' side. Talk about your pole vaulters and what makes it. What's the key there, Coach?
Well, first of all, Tim Fuhrer is our pole vault coach. He works with our program 712. He puts a ton of time in with them. You know, the extra workouts. They work out a couple times in the morning doing things, and that's just in season besides our regular practice schedule. But the things that they're willing to do in the off season in preparation has been huge, and it's equated to a lot of success over the last several years. And you know, you mentioned our three top pole vaulters on the girls' side. You know, our fourth pole vaulter would have probably placed probably fifth yesterday, and could definitely be one of the top pole vaulters on most people's teams. So you know, that's a lot of depth there. You know, on the guys' side, we're building a little bit of depth there. But you know, Preston Rath has worked extremely hard over the 4 years to put himself in situation to be successful. You know, he sacrificed a lot of other things to spend a lot of time on the pole vault, and I would say that's the case with all these kids. You know, we do Selena Holt. She actually has a full schedule during the meet, as well as being an 11-1 pole vaulter. JC, you know, has a full schedule as well as being an 11-foot pole vaulter, and you know, Maggie Gardner is a 4-time qualifier, so I mean, these kids have spent a lot of time at it, and like I said, some of them have really a lot of other work to do during the meet. So it said a lot about things they've accomplished.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to your day. Best of luck in Omaha. Looks like you got a chance to bring home a pretty good batch of medals here.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I'm excited for the week, and I know the kids are as well.
All right, Jace, great meet yesterday. Best of luck next week. Thanks for giving us time on Doug and Daddy's show.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care, Coach. Jason Hale joining us here on ESPN Radio. That pole vault, that's just, as you mentioned earlier, that's you got to have a good coach in that, and there's a lot of technique. I mean, you got technique to hurdles and techniques getting out of the starting blocks, all that, but, man, that pole vault, it's just a different thing. You don't, now again, maybe I'm wrong here, but you can run when you're 4 and 5 and 6, can't pole vault.
No, it's absolutely amazing, Doug, that the technique and how the coaching involved in that. I mean, there's a pole vault coach, and he's walking around the school, and he's looking at some kid and goes, hey, that could be a pole vaulter. 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 When I was coaching, I looked around at the school and thought, nope, nobody can pole vault because I have no idea how to coach it. So we got no pole vaulters here. If anybody wants a pole vault, you better transfer.
Well, it's big. I mean, Holdridge girls, it's a close race with Northwest, and they get 24. And as he said, I think they knocked off a fifth or sixth there as well. I mean, you get 25 points in one event.
Yeah, and you know what? When I was in the FKC, Elm Creek and Wilcox Hildreth and Bertrand, you know, just dominated the pole vault. And
Bertrand, still kind of do.
Well, and Bertrand's not in the FKC, but those are those schools that we went to a lot of meets and you know, saw all the time. And boy, did they have a tremendous advantage because, you know, they were going to get a possibility of 24 points in one event.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Gina Bucola waiting for us on the other side. But first, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday which team that was down 3-2 in the NBA playoffs has the best chance to win their series. And the Wizards over the Hawks was the majority. That was the one I picked, 63%. Rockets, Clippers, those might have been votes this morning after the game.
Yeah.
Only one vote for Bulls over Cavs and didn't happen. Nobody likes the Grizzlies over the Warriors. Our weekend thought for you, the Colorado Rockies snapped an 11-game losing streak last night. How long until they win again? Who they got this weekend, Caleb?
I think they've been playing the Dodgers.
Yeah, but it'll be somebody new. Well, let's check that. Effort that. Let's see who the Rockies got this weekend because they had been playing, but they break an 11-game losing streak. How long till they win again? Tonight? Sometime this weekend? Sometime this month? Or next month? And as soon as Caleb tells me who they're playing this weekend, I'll give you my answer. You can always vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com.
They've got the Dodgers this weekend, and they'll have the Phillies next week.
Okay, so it's a four-game. So the four-game series started last night. So
they went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the Dodgers, right? Yep.
I say they get one more this weekend.
Yeah, they're hot.
Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Gina Bucola when we come back.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings gets certified Angus 8 to 10 ounce sirloin steaks, only $5.99 a pound. Fresh homemade blue cheese bratwurst, $2.98 a pound. And a 2.5 pound frozen boneless chicken breast, only $4.47 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
The Preakness Stakes runs here. Will American Pharoah take the next step on his way to the Triple Crown?
16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
The Preakness Stakes this Saturday.
Catch all the action beginning Saturday at 4 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I don't think the Preakness has any cool songs. You know, you can come up with Kentucky Derby songs. There's always songs that go along with the Kentucky. This time of year, you got the Kentucky Derby, the Indianapolis 500, my Indiana home, you know. You've got, but I don't know. Is there a song for the Preakness?
It's just Maryland, My Maryland. That's when they the first when the, as soon as the first hook
that's pretty popular
hits the track. It's Maryland, My Maryland, and I don't know how it goes. But
you are amazing for knowing that.
Yeah, I guess I am.
You are amazing, and don't forget we've got Fanatics Friday trivia coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show as well. Right now, I want to remind you here in the Midtown, in the Midway Auto Dealer Group broadcast booth that GMC has a crossover without compromise. Get 0% APR for 5 years plus $500 purchase bonus cash on the 2015 GMC Acadia with qualified credit. Midway is also clearing out just a few more of those 2014 models. There's hardly anything left, but you can get a great deal on them now. See your Midway GM dealer and the Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or go online to thinkmidway.com. Their used car superstore is now open also on 2nd Avenue here in Kearney. So check it all out. New, pre-owned, whatever the case may be, your Midway Auto dealers have it for you. The Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Gino Bucola of the TVG Network is back with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have you got all the money spent, Gino?
That was a problem, man. It took me one day for me to grab one of my buddies and say, I need a partner to come out with me for the drive to Vegas to cash these American Pharoah tickets. So I went out there the Tuesday night after, cashed some tickets, and we had some fun. So now we're on to second jewel of racing's Triple Crown. The key is how most people approach it. If you pick the horse who wins the Derby, you usually keep the faith. You usually assume that this will be the horse that you'll try to ride all the way through with the Preakness and the Belmont. So that'll be the case for me this year. It's a smaller field, and I liked American Pharoah, and now we'll be rooting for him again. The key is we'll try to find a way to make a little money on the race today, even if he's a short price.
Take me back to how you watched the Derby. Obviously, if you have a vested interest like you did or anybody that makes a bet on it, you kind of watch it a little bit differently. We've been talking since the Derby how unique it was. I mean, there was nobody that came roaring from the back. Nobody up front really died. I mean, Dortmund did fall from first to third. But, I mean, the horses that were in the top five were pretty much there from start to finish. It was a little different type of Derby.
I completely agree with you, and I think it was you got to see the good horses really perform well. There were a couple horses in the back that had a little bit of trouble, but it wasn't your typical Derby. Usually you have half of the field with brutal trips. Horses get in the back, they get steadied right at the starting gate. You have a couple horses get slammed. So it wasn't the case. It was a really clean run Kentucky Derby. And I think what happened was the top three, they're going to end up at the end of the year being three of the best four or five three-year-olds in this particular group. And I actually think that the Preakness tomorrow will probably be a more difficult race for American Pharoah to win than the Belmont will. And the reason why I think that, I think that Dortmund and Firing Line are both legitimate. What we saw from the two of them wasn't a fluke. Dortmund was undefeated prior to the Kentucky Derby, and Firing Line had been defeated. He's run six times in four races. He's been second, and he's only lost by a length in one of them, and that was the Derby. So we're talking about three horses who don't want to lose, who don't like getting beat, who don't like getting behind other horses. What makes it really interesting is now you have a small field like this, so it really becomes a rider's type of race. It becomes a tactical, okay, now American Pharoah got to sit third on the outside last time. He's on the rail. Does he have to go? There's another fun story. Mr. Z, who just 2 weeks ago was owned by the Zayat Stables, he was one of the three horses for the Zayats that was in the Derby. He was privately purchased just yesterday by Calumet Farms and Dwayne Lucas. So a horse who was owned by the Zayats, who also owned American Pharoah just 2 weeks ago, is not owned by them now. So you wonder, a horse like Mr. Z, are they going to play a little? Are they going to play a little cat and mouse with American Pharoah? Are they going to try to make him really work? Are they going to put a lot of pressure on him? Nobody wants to let a horse win the Triple Crown, especially in the year that they're in it. So now it becomes all eyes and all target on American Pharoah.
A real quick question for you. And I was watching the races probably a couple of days before and the day of the Derby, and on the dirt, not on the grass, but on the dirt, speed was holding. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, what makes the Derby day really difficult, the last race that's run at Churchill Downs on the dirt is about 3 or 4 hours before the Derby. What happens is they have about an hour and a half in between races, and they run a really prestigious grass race, and then there's another hour and a half or so as they have the walkover and the song, My Old Kentucky Home, and the procession. So the racetrack changes so much on Kentucky Derby Day that sometimes you'll see times and you'll see figures and people say, well, that race was a little bit slow and a lot of horses didn't close. I honestly think that the best horses put forth the best performances that day. I think the horses who were 1 through 5 were all very good. I think if you go through the 18 horses that were in the field, there weren't many that you could really make legitimate excuses for, maybe a horse like Materiality and Carpe Diem. But I think even though it was a slow Derby, it was a really exciting Derby. We got to see three horses at the top of the lane. We got to see a really good horse race. And I think this Preakness might be even better with a little bit of a shorter race today, with a smaller field. I think every horse will have their opportunity. And what generally tends to happen on those big days, like Kentucky Derby Day and on Preakness Day and on Belmont Day and on Breeders' Cup, the tracks are usually fast. They usually play to horses who have speed. They want to have fast times. They want to have big numbers. So it doesn't really shock me that you have a day like Derby Day where it plays a lot to speedy-type horses, and that was the case again this year.
Gina Wakola of the TVG Network talking Preakness with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But as always, you know, we've got a couple questions before we get the actual selections for tomorrow's race. And, of course, Big Game James says, tell Gino that me and some of the Grand Island boys are headed to Saratoga a little bit later on this year. And, of course, they'll be wanting advice then. But in the meantime, do you have a live one at Santa Anita this weekend?
Yeah, we're always going to get you a live one at Santa Anita. Let's get you one at Pimlico today. to get the money started in race number 10 at Pimlico, because today is the Black Eyed Susan at Pimlico, so it's similar to the Kentucky Oaks Day versus the Kentucky Derby Day. The Friday, they have a lot of the big races for the stillies. So in the 10th at Pimlico today, we can go to a horse that's 8-1 on the morning line named Fortune Pearl for Graham Motion. Remember Graham Motion, he won the Derby with Animal Kingdom a few years back. And this horse will probably be around 6 or 8 to 1, and it should give you a really nice price. So I think you beat the favorite. Stop Charging Maria is going to be like 3 or 4 to 5 in there. And you want to play Fortune Pearl, because if James and the boys want to play for Sunday at Santa Anita, you can tell them to give me a text. But for my focus, I spent my probably 12 to 15 hours of handicapping over the last few days on Friday and Saturday at Pimlico. So anything they want from those races, I got for them. And we'll dish you out Fortune Pearl right off the bat in the 10th tonight at Pimlico.
Gino, when I look at the race, I think that Dortmund will probably go to the front, and I think the 6-7 and the 8, and the 7's Divining Rod, who I think will definitely have enough speed that can get to the front. I don't know if the 6 can get to the front, but I think Firing Line, Gary Stevens will like to box American Pharoah in using Dortmund or Divining Rod. That's the only thing I can see that American Pharoah could have some trouble with. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Could have some trouble. And Gary Stevens had a big smile on his face. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been there. He's done this many, many times. So when you have a horse who has speed, but a horse who doesn't need the lead, the outside draw is the perfect post position. We just saw with American Pharoah. What happens is it's always more comfortable when you're able to sit to the outside of a horse than on the inside. Horses just prefer being on the outside than being stuck on the rail. Like anyone, they just don't like the tight quarters. They don't like when you're forced to the outside and you can't really move up the rail. And what we've noticed in the last couple of years, California Chrome didn't like the inside. Anytime the California Chrome has ever been on the inside, it wasn't good. Happened to Belmont, didn't run well. Happened when he ran over at Parks in the Pennsylvania Derby. Again, it didn't run well. I think it's a combination of, one, Chrome didn't like the inside, but two, Victor Espinoza, I don't think, likes the inside. He's the jockey aboard American Pharoah. I would not be surprised if really early on in the race you see Victor make the attempt to try to either go extremely fast early on, clear the field, that way he can get his horse a little bit off the rail and not have horses to the outside pushing him in, or I wouldn't be shocked if he lets a horse like Dortmund go to the lead, tries to take back, sit third or fourth, and that way he can, again, angle his horse to the outside of a horse like Firing Line and Dortmund, because just like you mentioned, if he gets stuck down on the inside and you have Gary Stevens putting the pressure on him, like Mr. Z, Corey Nakatani is now riding Mr. Z for Dwayne Lucas, who used to be for the Zayats. This was a weird private sale. Dwayne Lucas wanted to run the horse in the Preakness. The Zayats said, we don't really want to run the horse. We already have another horse running and trying to win the Triple Crown. We don't need to. So Dwayne Lucas kind of kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and Mr. Zayat, who might be the most interesting man in the world, he just won the Derby. Literally in the last 3 days, he was in Egypt, Italy, and will now be in Baltimore tonight, and he'll be at the Preakness tomorrow. He said, in true fashion, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So now Mr. Z has been sold. He's going to be in the race, and I wouldn't be shocked if what you were talking about with Gary Stevens, if Mr. Z tries to show some speed, tries to make things very difficult on American Pharoah, he's going to have a big target on his back. There's going to be 4 or 5 horses that are really trying to make him work, and I honestly think, he's good enough to overcome it.
Man, it sounds like there's a lot of speed, a lot of horses that want to get up to the front. Just a couple more questions here for Gino Bucola of the TVG Network. Was there a horse that you're surprised isn't in the field? I mean, we got a short field, the shortest since 2000. They had 7 back in 1986, so it's never as big as the Derby or usually the Belmont, but 8 horses, not a lot. If Materiality was going to run, I would have thought it would have been in this race. It doesn't have a shot in the Belmont, I don't think. Is there a horse that should be in the Preakness?
Well, more than a horse, a trainer. There's no Todd Pletcher. Yeah. You're just so used to seeing Todd Pletcher show up in all the big races. Now, in the past few years, he's kind of done this. He's normally had his horses who ran in the Derby save them for the Belmont, and it looks like that's going to be the case this year. So it's just weird when you look around and you see a field of 8, Todd Fletcher has probably one of the biggest barns, if not the biggest barn, and the most numbers, the most stock of any trainer in the world, and definitely in the United States and North America. You just wonder, he didn't have anyone to send in here, and at a field of eight with a couple of Bob Baffert entrants, this is a small, compact field, but it's a contentious group. I just don't think that you're going to see a horse in the Belmont that's as good as American Pharoah, Dortmund, or Firing Line. Now, does that mean that American Pharoah is a lock? No. I just think this will be a more difficult race for him to win than the Belmont. I feel like if he wins this race, going to the Belmont, you probably will not see Firing Line. If he's already been beaten twice in observing the Preakness, I don't think Firing Line or Dortmund would come back to take another shot in the Belmont, which would enable American Pharoah to face a group of horses who are probably distance horses. What happens when you have the Belmont? The connections go, okay, my horse is more of a closer, so because it's a longer race, that will automatically help. That's usually not the case. You think that because there's more distance, the horses will get an opportunity to close. Usually the horses who have speed get out front and relax. So I think if he wins this race, I think he will have an easier time winning the Belmont than he does the Preakness. So to me, the first 100 yards of a race are going to be so interesting. Does he have to shotgun from that inside post? What's Victor Espinosa going to do? Are the two and the three, the two horses right to the outside of him, Dortmund and Mr. Z, are they both going to try to box him in? Is Gary Stevens from the outside also going to be putting the pressure on him? It's going to be a fun first 20 seconds of the Preakness tomorrow.
My last question for you, Gino, before your official pick is just an eight-horse field is kind of a two-parter. Good or bad? I mean, it is quality, it sounds like, for the most part. It looks like for the most part. And how much, if at all, does the – and we talked about this yesterday. What has happened in Baltimore here in the last month and a half with the riots and what the perceived problems at Pimlico – I mean, those are two different issues, but – are those affecting the Preakness at all?
I wonder. It's a really good question, and I've talked to a couple people about it. I don't think so, in that it might have been a few weeks ago, and a lot of times the people in horse racing were really in our own world. They got the blinkers on, and it's like sometimes you talk to a college football coach, and they don't even know what's going on in the world as far as who's a popular singer or what's happening. So in that perspective, I hope not. I do think that this was a very top-heavy group of three-year-olds. So I think you had, you know, six or seven that were very, very good, and I think you had 13 or 14 below that that were all good, but they were not anywhere close to that top five or six. And I think we saw that in the Derby with those three. And really, the horses who finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Derby all raced very well. And behind them, the only other horse that I thought had a lot of talent that didn't show up was Materiality, was one you mentioned, who will likely be pointing to the Belmont. I think a lot of it has to do with the number of horses who were really, really good this year. Even going into the Derby, they only had 18 horses run. There weren't a ton of horses on the also eligibles list that were begging to get in or connections that were saying, man, we really want to run our Derby horse. Taylor Verve was a horse who was actually on the also eligibles list. He didn't get the chance to run because El Kabir scratched too late, and he was not able to get entered into the race. But I just think it has to do more with this group of three-year-olds than what's been happening over in Baltimore.
Okay, Gino, you mentioned trying to have a winner, and do you think Pharoah will go off at less than even money, and how do you make money on the Preakness tomorrow?
Well, I do think American Pharoah is going to go off at less than even money. He'll probably be around 3 to 5 or so. I actually think that the three horses who ran 1, 2, 3 in the Derby are all going to be even shorter than their prices on the morning line, so Dortmund might be 3 to 1, 5 to 2. Firing Line will probably be something very close to that. I think if you're looking for a long shot to use, I think you want to use both the 5 and the 7. Taylor Verve, who's 30 to 1, and he might be the longest shot in the field, and Divining Rod. Now, I do think Divining Rod could win. I think Divining Rod's still a cut below, but of all of the new faces of the horses who did not run in the Derby, I think Divining Rod has the most likely chance to win the race. He's lightly raced. He's done nothing wrong. He was behind Carpe Diem a couple starts back. He has Javier Castellano, who's the nation's leading rider in wins, and he has been for the last few years. You have to always look at that as a positive. So I think if you're going to play American Pharoah like I am, you maybe want to play American Pharoah and pick either Dortmund or Feyenoord, one of the two. I mean, if you try to play those three, one, two, three, we saw in the Derby, it doesn't pay much. It just won't, the value won't be there. So I think you pick between Feyenoord and Dortmund. I would prefer Dortmund, so I would use the one and the two with the five and the seven. If you get Taylor Verve or Divining Rod to finish second or third or fourth or hit the board in some way, shape, or form, that's where you're going to get the value in particular. Taylor Verve is the longest shot in the field. He's going to come closing. If the one, two, three, and the eight all press each other, even a horse like Bodhisattva has some speed, that's going to be perfect for Taylor Verve. Darrell Rosario is aboard. He knows how to win big races. And Dallas Stewart, that's our long shot man. Dallas Stewart was the guy who trained Commanding Curve last year, who came flying to complete that exacta with California Chrome and get us a little bit of money in the Derby. So he's the long shot man. We used him last year to help the California Chrome exacta. So maybe we use the same man again, Dallas Stewart, with Taylor Verve in the five.
All right, Gino, thanks for all the information. I know our horse racing fans love it, and we will run you down before the Belmont. So enjoy the Preakness and Memorial Day, and keep cashing those tickets, man.
Tell the boys I said hello, and for me, now everyone keep your fingers crossed, because if we have American Pharoah win, I'm going to go to the Belmont. So I'll be talking to you in about 3 weeks from New York the day before. So keep our fingers crossed if Pharoah wins. My little Italian butt will be flying on over and having some fun leading up to the Belmont.
We'll get you to New York, man. All right, Gino. Good luck,
okay,
buddy.
Guys.
So, a lot to finish up here, Gino Bucola. Your selection, then Fanatics Friday trivia. In fact, let's do that right now. Then I want Jimmy's selections. A $25 gift card. If no one in your household has won in the last 3 months, you're eligible. We'll ask you a trivia question. If you get the answer, you'll win the $25 gift card to Fanatics. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Follow all of your favorite sporting events at Fanatics. If the game's on, it's on. Dedicated to keeping the games on until they're over. You don't have to worry about them turning off the games you want to watch just because it's after 10 o'clock. Great food, from sandwiches and burgers to their outstanding custom handcrafted pizza and a wide variety of appetizers. Great wings as well at Fanatics. Call now, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776, and we'll take you on the air here today and get your answer for our Fanatics Friday trivia. Who you got in the Preakness?
Well, I think it's 180. I think we're wrong on Dortmund. I think Dortmund's ran his best races. He had a perfect trip last time. He could not stay with those two. Let's be honest about that. They're talking about this being a three-horse race. That was a two-horse race. When they turned for home, that was a two-horse race. So I'm just going to go put those two. I don't think anybody else. The seven's going to be going to bother the two. He's going to go out there with the speed. And I do like his thinking that it's possible that the two and the seven will be using up so much energy to try to win the race and do things. You know, if you try to run about a second faster than you're capable of, you got nothing left for the drive, and something else might eat them up. I think the five might come running up for third, and then you would have a 1-8, 1-8-5, you know, trifecta. So that's kind of what I'm going to play. I'm not going to bet much money, but I might play a 1-8, 1-8-5, and I might try to beat American Pharoah. I don't think I can, but I don't want that exact, a 3-5 over a 3-1. I'd much rather have a 3-1 over a 3-5. Pays a lot more.
Give us a buzz now if you would like to answer our Fanatics Friday trivia question. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. That is the phone number if you would like to take a shot at our Fanatics trivia question for today. So give us a buzz. Scott Kucheski was finished in the first round in a tie for 13th yesterday at the Wells Fargo, playing his first PGA Tour event in over 3 years out of Omaha. And he's even on his round today, so he's still at 3 under par as they get ready to continue things there. Rory McIlroy making some news. He's at 7 under par towards the top of the leaderboard. Kucheski is currently tied for 22nd. Let's take a couple of other notes here. And UNK junior outfielder Anthony Pacheco has been chosen to the All-Central Region team for a second straight spring. Second team this year. He was a first-teamer last year. He is going to be one of the many kids that play summer ball somewhere else. He and closer Joe Smith are going to go to the Cal Ripken Collegiate League, play out in Alexandria, Virginia, the Alexandria Aces.
you know, that Pacheco kid, when you watch him play, Doug, he really hits the ball. I mean, he very seldom has a poor at bat, and he's got such a quick swing. I've never seen anybody with that much power to right field. You know, he probably would have had 5 or 6 more home runs if the foul line, he had just got around so fast on a couple pitchers, you know what I mean, which very seldom does that happen. You get around that quick that you foul him off. I mean, I'm talking about 7 or 8 feet foul just down the right field foul line. So, yeah, very interesting. But a great player and enjoyed watching him play.
18 nominees for the Ken B. Jones Award have been announced by the league today. It's named for the first full-time commissioner. They'll be pared down to 3 males and 3 females. The 15-member panel selects the finalist. Each nominee is judged in athletic accomplishments, career academic accomplishments, campus and community service, and career athletic and service achievements. A student athlete must have at least a 3.25 GPA and must have completed at least their junior season of eligibility. UNK's nominee is a name that we've talked about quite a bit off the football team, and Cole Manhart, who's out working with the Philadelphia Eagles. And Kendall Clark, the 2014 Missouri Valley Conference Women's Basketball Player of the Year, is going to join Nebraska as a fifth-year senior transfer. So she'd been at Drake. Of course, Amy Stevens probably still has some connections there, and her eligibility is done there, but the way things work, she can come play at
Nebraska. Yeah, if you graduate, correct?
Yeah.
If you graduate from that institution, then you can play that. And that seems like a good pickup right there, doesn't it, to you, Doug?
Well, I mean, they need somebody.
Yeah, that
they need
like
some
great,
help after
great
graduation
pickup.
And things like
hey,
that.
You know, I enjoyed listening to the Illinois baseball coach. What that you know, talk about a story in athletics. If that team would have, in their last 24 games, if they'd have gone 12-12, we'd have never thought anything of it. And they win 24 in a row. Is that what it was, 24 straight?
Yeah, now 25
yeah,
after the win last night.
After the win last night. But what a story for Illinois baseball. Unbelievable. You made a great point, Doug, when you said it's really hard to cheer against somebody like Illinois baseball. I mean, you could be jealous of Kentucky basketball or even Duke.
Yeah.
You know, there's some Kansas. I'm tired of hearing about them win all the time. But really hard to go, I'm just tired of hearing about Illinois baseball. I mean, the last time I heard about Illinois baseball, Dick Butkus had a baseball bat in his hand.
We apparently had a little problem there with our phone line, folks, so I think that's fixed. If you would like to give us a buzz for our Fanatics Friday fan quiz, we're giving away a $25 gift card right now at 888-455-3776. Give us a buzz. You can get through now. 888-455-3776. Somebody's going to get a $25 gift card to Fanatics. It was a great day for athletics yesterday. They got to play the Awori Dunes Golf Classic. I'll give you results in a minute. But right now, let's go to the phone line. Who are we chatting with?
Kurt.
Kurt, here we go. It's a fairly easy question today, at least even if you don't know the answer, you might guess it right. We were talking track, state tracks coming up next week. We had Holdridge coach Jason Hale on, and I found this a little interesting. There are 17 boys events, there are 17 girls events, so that means there are 34 state records all time. In the history of the world, there are only 34 state records. How many state track meet Class B records do Holdridge athletes have?
Three.
See, I told you it was easy. That's right. Three is the correct answer, man. Let me give you who they are, and then we'll get you set up for the wins here. Juliana Bird just got on last year from Holdridge in the girls' 100 hurdles for the state meet and overall state record. Beth Stewart has the state record in the Class B discus, and of course, Todd Brown still has the all-class state record in the triple jump at you probably know the number, Jimmy, don't you?
No, I don't. But okay, I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to go. He went 51 feet 11 inches.
No, 50 feet 2 1/4. But you didn't need to know that.
No, I threw it out.
Congratulations, Caleb's going to get you hooked up here with your $25 gift certificate. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, three. Yeah, I was just curious, and bang, there it was. I knew Todd Brown had it, and who knows? We'll see what else happens.
That's a good question, a very good question. I always enjoyed looking at the national records of how amazing that was. You know, I always remembered Steve Prefontaine went 841.5 in the 2 mile run, Doug. 841.5.
Can't do it in a golf cart. While we're talking Holdridge, it's not too late, folks. This weekend, the Holdridge three-person scramble. You're looking at the beautiful weather. The rain in the forecast is for the evening. Sunday's supposed to be gorgeous. Let's get you through the weekend. It's a two-day three-person scramble at the beautiful Holdridge Country Club. $255 for your entire team, which includes 2 days of green fees, the Saturday night steak dinner, which is always awesome. There's a Calcutta, cash payouts, and the Calcutta in every flight. Cart rental is available for an additional fee. You can find out more information on their website at holdridgecc.com, or just call them now and get your team in. The Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744. 308-995-5744. Great course, great fun, three-person Holdridge Country Club scramble tomorrow and Sunday. Yesterday over at Awori Dunes, Kearney shot their best score of the year at 293 to win the event over a Grand Island with a 300. North Platte, Minden, Kearney Catholic rounded out the top five in the 11-person field. Kearney's Cody Trout, the medalist, with a 68, two better than Austin Murray. A lot of guys shot really well yesterday. So, I think American Pharoah's not going to win tomorrow. I've been on a roll here lately, Jimmy. I've been on a roll. So I'm going to say blah, 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 blah. I think Firing Line is going to be my pick tomorrow.
I actually think American Pharoah might win this thing by two or three lengths. You know, turning for home. I'm afraid that, Firing Line's going to have to do some other things to try to beat him, and he might use up his horse, you know, strategically trying to box him in. So we'll see kind of what goes on.
And I like that Tail of the Verve thing. It's run in lesser races, maiden races, but if it's not in the way, everybody else doesn't. You know, if a Pharoah runs away with this thing, all of a sudden he can hit the board and find a way to give you some money. So I wouldn't be against an 8-5 exacta tomorrow to really blow it up and sign a stub.
You know what's really interesting? The 3-4 and the 5 could actually run in non-winners at 2. You got it. They're in a non-winners of two race.
It scares me.
Allowance, non-winners of two.
Mr. Z shouldn't be in this field, and he is. So if he's on the board, I will not be surprised. Thanks to Gina Bucola of the TVG Network, Jason Hale, Holdridge Track Coach, Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger for joining us on the program today. Back Monday with a recap of what's going on at soccer. Pat McFadden, Kearney Girls Track Coach, will be among our guests as we get ready for a busy week. Jimmy, have fun at graduation. Congratulations.
Yep. See you later, Doug.
See you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.